This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
I'm Nil Zacharias, and you're listening to Eat for the Planet. On this show, we try to answer the question, how can we eat in a way that nourishes us without starving the planet? The show features conversations with food industry leaders, health and sustainability experts, as well as entrepreneurs and creative minds who are redefining the future of food. In this episode, I chat with Sarah Cullen, the founder of GEM, an algae-based science company working to simplify daily health habits. The core problem we explored in this conversation is the fact that Americans are overfed yet undernourished, and we urgently need solutions that can nourish us in sustainable ways. But most of the food we eat is stripped of essential nutrients, and most of the supplements available on the market don't work. GEM is on a mission to tackle these challenges by simplifying daily health habits with real food products. Their first product is a real food vitamin designed to replace your daily multivitamin with one bite of clean nutrition made with 13 real food ingredients. This is Sarah Cullen and the GEM story. Sarah Cullen from GEM, thank you so much for joining us on the Eat for the Planet podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the food system, right? If our food system wasn't full of intensive monoculture farming that's degrading our soil and destroying our ecosystems, we would have nutritious food and we would all be healthy. Unfortunately, we don't live in that world. And so I suppose adversity creates opportunity, hence we have the supplement industry. And I was reading up about some facts about the supplement industry right before this podcast, and shockingly, I found that Americans spend about $35 billion on supplements, and globally, the industry is like $140 billion or something at the moment, and expected to grow up to $216 or $20 billion by the year 2026. So there's a huge opportunity in supplements, obviously, but the question really is, why on earth do we even need supplements? Why can't we just get all our nutrition from food?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I wish we could get all of our nutrition from food. But the reality is, as you mentioned, our soils are depleted, and the way that we farm today produces food that's just starved of nutrition. And so even if you eat all your vegetables and fruits and try to eat a well-balanced diet, it's just pretty much impossible to get all the nutrients that you need, which is why 90% of America is nutrient deficient, technically. Particularly with micronutrients. And so we do need supplementation. But then the question is, in what form?
I guess you obviously analyzed this issue a little bit. What do you think is wrong with existing supplements, if anything?
Yeah, lots. Well, I think the first and foremost is that, and I often frame it that a lot of supplements today, they're built through this reductionist lens where we're taking isolated vitamins from food or from chemicals or from a lot of crazy sources like vitamin A and B and C, and we're isolating these from their cofactors and co-nutrients and then putting them into a capsule. And then we're saying, okay, this is your complete nutrition. But you actually need to build it holistically. So you need those bioactive compounds from real food. You need those antioxidants to actually work with your vitamins, and it does so much more for your body. And so, one of the studies that have been done on this is they've taken a vitamin C tablet and a tomato. And the tomato does a lot more for your body than the vitamin C tablet. Why? Because vitamin C in tomatoes have lycopene, and the vitamin C in a tablet have nothing. And so that's where, getting your nutrients from real food is doing so much more for your body. And then there's, of course, the whole planet equation part of it, not only for your health, but also, taking these supplements, what are they doing for our planet's health too?
Yeah. And I recently read an article in the Washington Post as well, basically saying how we take all these supplements, we take all these vitamins, and most of it isn't really doing anything for us. In fact, because most of them are synthetic, as you mentioned, they're kind of an extracted synthetic vitamin. They are not easily absorbed. They're not bioavailable. Also, they don't come along with enough trace minerals that our body needs.
Exactly.
And so you're better off getting it from food. But then the problem is, well, it depends what you're eating. And somehow people feel, well, if I take a multivitamin and I get these nutrients, I don't have to worry about eating healthy all the time. And in some cases, when it comes to vitamins like vitamin D or even B12, depending on your diet, or omega-3s, you're probably better off supplementing just to be safe.
Totally.
So anyway, how did you even stumble upon this world of shady world of vitamins and supplements?
Yeah, so I, in my mid-20s, had a series of health issues, super random, weird. I had swellings in my face. My metabolism was shot. I started getting a bunch of skin issues. I had a lot of things that were happening, and I couldn't really figure out what was going on. And so I went through all these different doctor visits. I had blood tests and allergy tests. And ultimately, I found out that I was allergic. I am allergic, food sensitive to soy, corn, wheat, and peanuts, which make up more than 3/4 of our daily calories, whether we realize it or not. These are, you know, traditional staple crops, but they're also really abundant in our processed foods and in our processed vitamins. It's all the fillers and the binders and the additives. And so my body had been overwhelmed with these too much, and it was having a reaction. And so I, you know, at the time was like, okay, well, I'll try to do a few diets and weed it out. And what that looked like was pretty much eating nothing. And so that's where I turned to the supplement aisle. I've always been a vitamin skeptic. And then mm-hmm. I turned to the supplement aisle to try to fill the gaps in my diet, because I was basically not eating. There was not a lot of things that I could eat. And that's when I found out that, wow, all these things exist, right, in these synthetic vitamins and gummy bears as well, in forms that you don't even realize. And most of these vitamins are actually extracted mm-hmm. just from corn or from soy. So then I got into these other, superfoods, essentially, and algae, so spirulina and chlorella being two of them, and really felt my health rebound. And the more that I dug into not only its incredible, superfood and nutrient dense benefits, but also its environmental profile as well. And I became radically obsessed to the point where now I'm starting a company around really fundamentally changing the way we nourish ourselves with these superfoods like algae that we don't normally get in our day-to-day diets.
Yeah. So most people don't know enough about algae. And, lately I've been talking a bit more about it because it has all these sustainability benefits. It also comes packed with nutrients. There are some concerns around toxicity. What makes algae so special? Like, why is it a key ingredient in your supplement, actually?
Yeah. So actually, back to why a lot of supplements are not built right, because they don't have those phytonutrients, they don't have those co-nutrients, those antioxidants, and those fatty acids. And that's what algae offers. It offers so many super nutrients, not only every vitamin and mineral, but also your omega-3s, all your amino acids, these really unique antioxidant profiles that is really easy for your body to digest and absorb, actually, due to how algae, especially microalgae, is grown. So there's just, tremendous benefits for your body that is really hard to get, particularly in a vegan way, from other sources.
And today, is algae used as an ingredient in most any foods? To what extent is it part of our American food system to begin with?
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I discovered mm-hmm. through this health journey, right? Is it's really just a part of, the sort of superfood aisle in your smoothies. You go buy it in bulk at your organic health store, and it's really not accessible. It's super expensive, mm-hmm. and it's not easy to use unless you enjoy making these, superfood smoothies and whatnot. And so that was kind of, the whole purpose of me starting GEM was really to create an accessible way to access these things, to democratize access to it, to make it tasty, to make feeling great and tasty not a mutually exclusive thing, and to really try to get it into everyday diets. So right now, there isn't a ton of food out there that really utilizes these plants and in effective ways.
It seems like you arrived at the starting point for GEM because of a confluence of two sort of themes. One is your own sort of nutritional journey, exploration, your own health problems, and your own research to try to figure out how you can get nutrients in a way that didn't include corn and soy and nearly every other monoculture crop that's out there in this country. And you stumbled upon superfoods and found that were beneficial to your health. And so, you know, you're probably not the first person to find that out, which is why superfoods have grown in popularity over the last 10 years. But as you rightfully pointed out, they live in the sort of the health food aisle. And if you make smoothies, you put those powders in your smoothies. You do get some bars and other snacks that include superfoods in it. But for the most part, and let me know if you agree with this, superfoods work if you consume them consistently.
Yes. That's a great point.
So you can go and buy yourself a $16 smoothie packed with superfoods once a week, maybe, you know, or maybe more if you can afford it. But to really feel the benefits of it, it has to be part of your daily regimen in some way. So that's the power of superfoods and how it can help improve your health. On the other hand, you also have this issue, which we talked about right in the beginning, which was people aren't getting enough nutrition and hence people turn to vitamins. And so maybe this is what you arrived at. Okay, I'm learning that superfoods can give me this packed nutrients that I actually need for my body to heal and to feel better. And vitamins aren't working for most people. People need to consume superfoods on a regular basis. Yep. Why don't we combine both
exactly.
of them?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. So then tell me, how did GEM get started? I mean, that's one thing to discover that and say, whoa, this is the answer for yourself. It's a completely another matter to go and decide to start a food company focused on this. So how did that leap happen
for
you? Yeah,
it's funny because I don't think I didn't start GEM thinking, oh, this is going to be the anti-vitamin or I'm building something that's going to replace the multivitamin. I just wanted to build a convenient way to get all of your nutrition in the cleanest way possible.
Okay.
And that's how it started, in the most real way possible. And so we're a real piece of food, 13 different plant-based ingredients. It gives you kind of all of your vitamins and minerals that you need. And it's something convenient and delicious to take every day. And you actually look forward and remember to take it every day versus swallowing a handful of pills, right, that you don't actually look forward to. And to your point, it's really about consistency more than anything else. You don't actually need mega doses, you know, once a week. It doesn't do anything for you. It's about just taking enough to fill the gaps in your diet every day. And that's actually how you get to, you know, well-balanced health. And so that's, you know, what inspired me to kind of create a healthy habit company, I guess, around this superfood. And I got started in my kitchen doing a lot of bizarre experiments, which I'm happy none of them made it to market, but this one, utilizing algae. Eventually got a team together of scientists. I have an herbalist, a functional medicine doctor who helped me with the, you know, final formulations. But a lot of it was our own trial and error. And actually, before I launched GEM, I did a private beta group with I think it was like over 300 women that we actually seeded the product with and prototyped the product with to make sure it really worked for women before we ever launched. So we did a lot of different studies and tests in building it. And then we launched in late 2018.
And so what is GEM for someone who has never tried it? I'm assuming a lot of people listening have, some of them may be hearing about this for the first time. What is it? Why is it different from a supplement that maybe someone is taking right now?
Yeah, great question. So GEM is one bite of daily nutrition. So it is meant to replace your multivitamin, either that comes in a pill or capsule or in a gummy bear. It's one piece of food that you eat. It's made with just 13 different plant-based ingredients, so spirulina and chlorella, and a red algae called astaxanthin being three primary superfood ingredients. We also have ashwagandha, which is a really well-researched, you know, stress herb, so it helps reduce your cortisol levels when taken every day. So we have a ton of nutrients packed in here, also all your vitamin Bs and D and omega, all in this clean bite. There's no synthetic binders or fillers or colorants. And you take this every day for to fill the gaps in your diet and for complete nutrition. We're a direct-to-consumer company, so it's delivered directly to your door every month for $39, $1.30 a day. You get 30 bites, and you take one bite a day, and that's GEM.
You said this, and I wanted to make sure I mention it. you said we're a healthy habit company.
Yeah.
And so the fact that it's a subscription program is because this wouldn't, it isn't like you would eat a bite of Gem and then you're good for the rest of the month.
Exactly.
You need to eat it daily, I'm assuming.
That's what we're encouraging, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it replaces, it doesn't replace food, it does replace your existing vitamin if you are taking one.
Yeah, so it's designed to, so we looked at sort of the average deficiencies in a woman's diet, and then we looked at sort of the modern issues that plague us most, right? So stress, mm-hmm. especially with all of our environmental pollutants and the way that we work, fatigue and a lot of our skin issues, kind of brain fog. So we looked at these modern issues and our average deficiencies, and then we designed the plants that can help deliver those nutrients to help fight those issues and to help fill the gaps. And so that's how it's designed. We believe that less is more, so we don't do mega dosing of anything, like I mentioned. And that's all in this one bite, and you take it every day, and it's really about consistency, as you mentioned.
And your ingredients, since it's a food product, all your ingredients were sourced from food ingredients, obviously. Mm-hmm. You mentioned you had some scientists and nutritionists and herbalists work with you. Mm-hmm. One of the things I've also started to wonder about and do some more research on is this misunderstanding a lot of people have about certain powerful ingredients. They assume because an ingredient, say, gives you energy or helps fight stress, that you can combine it with another ingredient that also gives you energy and helps fight stress, and magically it'll give you a double dose.
Mm-hmm.
When the truth is not always that, and the truth sometimes is certain ingredients interact well with other ingredients to produce synergistic effects.
Totally.
And in some cases, combining certain ingredients could actually negate their individual effects or could actually cause harm to you. So how did you factor in the science of this, really, with the fact that you obviously had identified certain ingredients? To what extent was it about combining them in the right dose also?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. We worked with a lot of scientists in doing that. So we're an FDA-regulated product, which is really important. A lot of supplements today are actually not, they actually have a supplement panel, a nutritional panel in the back that says supplement panel. Mm-hmm. We actually have a nutritional fact panel. So we're built as a real food, which means that our label makes no claims. Everything you see on the label is exactly what it is. We're incredibly transparent. We don't use any ingredients that haven't been tried and tested in the market. Mm-hmm. So we don't use any scary things. This sort of radical transparency and real food aspect made that science a lot easier too, because we use things that, yeah, have been in the market mm-hmm. for a long time. And so we work with scientists to make sure that, you know, all the nutrients that we have in there really do work together. Mm-hmm. And again, we do have those fatty acids and those compounds from real food that actually help your body absorb those nutrients. Real food bioavailability, which is really important, which is pretty much what a lot of vitamins lack, is real food bioavailability. And that's this, you know, that's the biggest science behind making these things work in your body.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned about the FDA, the supplements are sort of live in this gray area between drugs and food, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they aren't regulated like prescription drugs or non-prescription
exactly.
drugs also that need FDA approval.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't need any approval, but yet they're not they're kind of classified as food, but they don't have to meet the standards for
exactly.
food as well. And so they're kind of like innocent until proven guilty,
mm-hmm.
unless, you know,
yep.
there's some adverse reactions and then they get,
exactly.
some of them have gotten into trouble. And yeah, you got to be careful about some claims you make as a supplement, but I don't think it's that tightly regulated, which is why the industry is known to just make outrageous claims and sell most of it. Really doesn't work, and people buy it still because they buy the marketing, really.
Yeah, exactly.
The choice to have a nutritional facts label was because you were a food product, because you were not in pill form, you had to do that, and also it's also a benefit.
I also wanted to do that.
That's what I was hoping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the biggest part of the science that I wanted to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to hide things on the label. I mean, a lot of, I was a vitamin skeptic because there's a lot of things that I don't know. Like, where do your vitamins actually come from?
Mm-hmm.
How are they made? You know, that was the really crazy for me, the thing for me when I was building this, is that, everything from our makeup to our hair products, to tampons even. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about organic and sustainability and knowing where they come from. But with our vitamins, a lot of people don't know. So one of the alarming stats that I love to give is that, you know, 90% of vitamin D on the shelf today comes from lanolin, which is a fancy word for sheep's wool. And not that that's inherently bad necessarily, but like you're taking vitamin D every day from sheep's wool. In GEM, our vitamin D comes from mushrooms, right? And so it's just, it's coming from real food really makes a difference in not only the transparency and the science, but just also the sourcing and the quality.
Yeah. So tell us more about the sourcing and the quality. It's a big topic because as a startup, you want to do the right thing, but you also don't have the resources to do necessarily to spend the amount of money that's required to source the highest quality ingredients. How did you solve that problem?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time, you know, sort of scouring the earth, I guess, looking for the highest quality suppliers. We do a lot of due diligence, actually, for our stage of a company. We do invest a ton in it because we make sure that our suppliers are organic whenever possible, non-GMO, all that good stuff, soy-free, corn-free, wheat-free, peanut-free, nut-free. But we also look at every single ingredient that we source and make sure it doesn't have unnecessary binders and fillers. You'll be shocked at a supplement label. It'll say, oh, you know, this vitamin D is just from lanolin, for instance. And actually, there's about 30 other ingredients. So your little pill and capsule, this hot pink thing that's supposed to be the epitome of health, could have over like 200 different ingredients that have nothing to do with the vitamin and mineral that you're getting and don't even like work to help you. I mean, that to me is so counterintuitive.
That's obviously an important part of what you've been building here. But a bigger thing really is if you had formulated the best kind of product and you had, you know, you've tested it, you've obviously combined the right ingredients, you've sourced them carefully. The question remains that is still a food product that you won't help anyone until they make it a habit, right? Which comes back to sort of your direct-to-consumer e-commerce subscription model. Was that sort of an obvious thing right in the beginning? Or at what point did you decide the way to get this to the market? Because it must have taken a lot of little decisions to get you to where I think you are right now, where you're sort of living in your own, you've kind of carved your own space for yourself. As far as I know, there isn't any other supplement out there that can claim to be a real food supplement, at least one that is not a pill.
Right.
I mean, some who have pills claim that the source of their ingredients are real food, but yours is actually food.
Exactly.
Food in one bite to be consumed like a supplement. So you're fitting into an existing habit, but you're kind of creating a new one as well. You're 100%. Turning a supplement regimen where someone pops a pill into now taking a snack, really.
Exactly.
So when, like, how did this thinking evolve from, okay, we're going to have this food product, but we're going to, you had to go direct to consumer? Because what would be a retail play for something like this?
Well, we had to go direct to consumer because we are introducing a new category of nutrition. And here's this funny bite. And without context, right, on a website or something like that, you might think it's a snack when looking at it. And, you know, eating too much, well, I've eaten a lot of these bites, but, you know, they're really nutrient dense. And so you do need that context. And that direct-to-consumer model was super important for us for that, and also to build this community and to build these healthy habits. We knew we needed to be direct-to-consumer in order to really deliver that in the right way, but also in the early days, particularly and still now, it's so important for us to have a direct relationship with our customers and our community, because that's the way that we get feedback and make sure that we're always improving our product. Going wholesale right away, you don't get any of that data. You don't get any of those relationships. And so particularly in the early days when you're building products and you're always, you know, you're radically iterating and you're improving, you really do need that close relationship. So direct-to-consumer model was a no-brainer and sort of the only option for us in the beginning. And same with subscription. It just made sense because that's the only way that this really works for you is taking it every day. And so building a model around encouraging that.
And how did you handle the consumer education part of it? Because, again, you're trying to create a healthy habit, a sort of a new habit, hacking into an existing habit.
Yeah.
You're turning snacking into the new supplement in a small way, or, you know, making it a new health ritual. yeah, what did you do in the beginning with, you mentioned you had about 300 people in your initial beta group. Were they skeptics? Did they, were they confused about what it is that they had to do? How did they come on board so easily?
Yeah.
Or maybe it wasn't easy.
Well, yeah, no, so it was all sort of like word of mouth. Refer a friend in. So it was all across the country, a mix of, you know, vitamin skeptics and vitamin believers, and a lot of people who were just looking for a better for you option. There really isn't a lot of, you know, right now the supplement aisle is you swallow a handful of pills, you take some sugary gummy bears, or you do these really complicated powder routines. And so people who were, you know, believed in the philosophy that food is medicine, you know, didn't really have, like, were that first option for them. And so actually what's quite beautiful is the simple, unique form factor of GEM being this little bite, and, you know, just holding it up and saying, this is what your vitamin should look like, this real food bite instead of this hot pink capsule, really was enough to get people to say, yeah, I get it. That makes sense. And was enough of a hook, I think, to get people to at least try it.
Yeah. And how's it been so far? I know you said you launched in 2018, so it hasn't been that long. But so you're very, obviously, very early stage as a company. What have you learned so far? You know, what are you willing to share about your growth? And I just think there's so much potential in this. But, you know, it's still, you're, again, you're in a new category, and that is never an easy thing.
No, it's not. We've had tremendous growth just in the past year. We've grown like 10x. So it's been really phenomenal. And I think, you know, there's a lot of things that we've learned. Could spend a couple of days on that one. But I think most of all that that a lot of people are looking, that they are looking for an option that is real and clean and just works better for their body. And for the most part, you know, that's what GEM delivers. And so that's what's been amazing to learn about how we are meeting different consumer needs has been a really cool learning process.
Yeah. And in terms of, like, have you felt that a big part of what you're doing with your core consumer base is starting a conversation about health, and this becomes a good, because, you know, the nature of your product itself leads to questions, especially the first time you come across it. It says, wait, why? What is this, first and foremost? Is this a snack or is it a supplement? Okay, it's a supplement. Why is it in snack form? And if it is, why do I even need it? Which are excellent questions because you have answers to them. But more importantly, it then sparks a conversation about health in general, about nutrition in general, about if you're able to take GEM daily as a start, and you feel like it is actually making a difference for you, and you feel like it has replaced your vitamins and your existing supplements, it probably then inspires some of your customers to then dive deeper into learning more about nutrition and health. Have you found that to be true as well?
Yeah, definitely. We've gotten a lot of customers writing in that, you know, have, like, over 90% of our customers feel a difference in, you know, they have stronger nails, their hair is longer, they have better, you know, regular digestion, they feel more energy. And so, you know, they really feel the benefit. And when you start to feel great, then you want to share it and you want to dig even more into it, right? And you become really obsessed. And so we have a pretty obsessed and fanatical, I guess, base of customers. And it's been really cool to be a part of that and to have them. I think not all industries or categories lead to that sort of cultish base or something that people really want to share about. You know, I always joke, like, you know, toothbrushes. Like, I don't know if people want to, like, talk about their toothbrush routine, but with health routines, people really want to. And actually going back to your original question of what we've learned, you know, what we've learned is that people not only want a better for you option, but in a real and a clean option, but they want simplified options, that there's just so much noise out there and GEM is really cutting through it in a very simple way. And that's something that we've really listened to. And as we, you know, continue to grow our product line, we're looking to how can we simplify your daily health habits and not only clean them up, but truly simplify them in really innovative ways. And so that's been, I guess, a huge learning. But, you know, it's interesting. Like, we're, I think we do pose a sort of, you know, we spark a lot of questioning and myth busting around supplements that no one's ever, like I mentioned, no one ever really questions where a vitamin comes from or how it's made. And no one really, you know, there are all these myths out there that you need 100% or 500% of everything. And the list goes on. And so I think we have sparked a lot of those conversations, which is tremendous.
Yeah. And if you're able to get your core, because if you get your customers to adopt the habit of starting to at least take GEM daily, the products that you have on the market right now, I mean, the way I look at it, the potential to build on that is just significant. Because I focus a lot in the food industry, and when I walk into health stores, it's like or grocery stores, whether it's Erewhon in LA or Whole Foods or wherever, for the most part, I know enough about ingredients to know that a lot of the products are selling stuff that actually isn't going to help you in any way. So, for example, without knocking any particular brand, certain beverages that claim to have, you know, adaptogens and functional foods in it, again, coming back to the point, do nothing for you unless you're literally going to drink that daily
exactly.
or a couple of times a day. And so, which is maybe the hope of the company that someone is going to do that, but it's unlikely to happen. So I'm seeing a lot of powerful ingredients just being delivered through the wrong mechanisms, because some people think it's easier or quicker to achieve success as a CPG company by launching a beverage or launching an energy bar or launching a chocolate bar, whatever it may be. And they may all be right, and I may be the one who's wrong. But, you know, maybe the longer term play, and maybe that's what I see the potential in what you're doing here, is that if you build that honest, authentic habit with the help of a product that's actually delivering daily nutrition, you can then build on that to have, supplements or GEM that is customized for different needs at different life stages or even different times of the day. So you could have, you have all these drinks now and products in the market that help people with sleep, or you have people that need that afternoon pick me up. I can almost envision that you're not only tackling the supplement market, if you're successful and you do things right, you can slowly creep into the energy bar, smoothie, sleep supplement market, and it's the potential is way beyond just being a multivitamin in a bite. Maybe that's your bigger vision.
Exactly. You just said it for me. That is exactly our vision, is that we really want to bridge this world of supplements and superfoods and simplify it. And, you know, there are really powerful ingredients out there, but to your point, it's about how it's delivered and in a format that your body can absorb. And so, you know, even things like ashwagandha, you mentioned people taking a $15 latte with ashwagandha in it once a month doesn't do anything for you. But if you take ashwagandha every day at the functional dose that we provide in GEM, it's proven to reduce your cortisol levels by 20%. And cortisol is that fat-loving hormone, right, that a lot of us have from fatigued adrenals. And so we do put really powerful ingredients that in the best forms possible that when taken every day can do incredible things for your health. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we want to do that across these different categories, like you mentioned, sleep and energy and gut, hopefully really combine these two worlds and improve, you know, both human and planetary health.
Yeah, and you can also understand from your customer base, again, coming back to that community and conversation about what it is that they need. I mean, eventually we'll end up in a place where you can have personalized nutrition and all of that, but we're not there yet. But you know, what if you find a majority of your customer base is like, I need an iodine in my diet and I'm finding that that's missing. Do you have a supplement or, you know, a gut supplement, more probiotics or prenatal version of GEM? So I can totally see, you know, someone customizing their subscription based on their needs. And because they've already developed that base habit now, you can build on that. And, you know, back to my criticism of some of these other companies that are using similar ingredients, but then delivering them through these basic beverages and drinks, and those ingredients are really added in as selling points more than anything else, because people are attracted to adaptogens and functional foods, at least on the coast for the moment. But one of, like, all the other thing that people have tried is to put them into an existing product that people do consume daily. A creamer is a good example.
Yeah.
So you've seen creamers now with added functional mushrooms and adaptogens in it because they know people consume creamers daily. So
yeah, it's a great hack.
You're creating a hack. Well, you're creating a new habit. So to me, it all comes back down to this habit creation thing.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's the crux of your future.
Yes.
How do you actually get people to make this a habit? And yeah, what are your thoughts on that? And what have you, you know, I'm sure you think about this way more than I do at the moment. I've just been thinking about it before this podcast. But what have you learned so far? To me, that's so much about consumer behavior and thinking, right?
Yeah. And I think there are some companies, as you mentioned, who've tried to create daily habits by hacking existing ones like coffee, right? Or creamer, things that you use, but then adding doses to it. I sort of did something similar, I suppose, where I took multivitamins. So people, you know, 50% of Americans actually take a multivitamin, or at least they claim to. 8 out of 10 actually don't remember to take it every day because it's not a pleasant experience. But 50% claim to take it. And so we said, okay, instead of taking this, you know, take GEM. And so we provided an alternative, for a natural alternative to them. And I think as we expand into other categories, it's something that we think a lot about is how can we make these healthy habits really seamless. And a lot of it's making something that you look forward to doing, something that works. And when something works and you feel great and you look forward to doing it, then it becomes a pretty easy habit. And so, you know, that's the goal with GEM is just making it convenient and delicious and something that's incredibly effective.
Yeah. So what's next for you? You're obviously poised to do a lot more. A lot of it is dependent on how fast you grow and how much capital you're able to raise. And
back-end factors.
All the not fun factors, really. But yeah, what's next? Where do you want to take this business next?
Yeah, we want to continue building out this healthy habit platform that's driven by or powered by algae. And continue delivering really innovative nutritional solutions and simplifying your cabinet. So, you know, we're starting with sort of the all-in-one, the multivitamin, but we do want to go into other categories and touch on other issues, modern issues that plague us that maybe our current Gem Bite doesn't meet, such as sleep. And I think there is a lot of opportunity there. And a lot of this is actually coming from our consumers currently asking this. So we're constantly in touch with them and polling them and figuring out, you know, what else we can do to not only improve our current product, but, you know, build more solutions that meet more of their needs. And so we're listening to them and together building hopefully some new products that we can launch later this year.
And do you think at some point, maybe it's too early for this, but do you think you have some role to play in retail? Do you think that GEM has a way to get into that space as well?
Well, we're currently in Erewhon and a few other retail spots, but we are, you know, 98% online. So we do want to go omnichannel and go retail. Our larger mission is democratizing access to better nutrition, and that means trying to get it out there as much as we can. So I do think going into retail is super important into doing that. Yeah, I think the question of when probably comes down to some of those back end factors of fundraising and of some other things. But also, I think it's when we feel confident that we are able to get the education out there and know our customer well enough to be able to deliver these things without the context of our website, right? And just being on a shelf. And so I think we still have probably another year of at least of brand awareness to build before we do that.
And how would this, you obviously wouldn't be a subscription product in the shelf. So right now in Erewhon, for example, is it just sold as a snack?
Right. So that's exactly what I mean by education. Not only knowing that it's not a snack and something that you know, just have one or two bites of, but also something that you need to do consistently.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of impossible to do in a retail model. And that's where, you know, we hope to build the education and sort of the brand base to that way when we're in retail, hopefully people will kind of know it's something, you know, like these other staples that you kind of come back for every month and refill on.
I mean, there's a there's a benefit to it. Obviously, you get more reach and distribution, but the drawback is that you could have that first touch point with a customer that they perceive you to be a snack, and you're never able to then shed that perception that they acquire because they're like, no, that's just an energy ball or energy square.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something I'm supposed to have daily, and you're just mm-hmm. trying to make me do that to sell more. So, I mean, I think there are some risks, but it depends on what products, and maybe you need a separate kind of a product category eventually, or a SKU that is more snack focused.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that with some of the products that we plan to launch later this year, they might be more retail ready than this current product just because they'll have more focused benefits. Whereas this current product is so beautiful in that it offers so many great things for your body across energy and, you know, focus and skin and hair and balance. But at the end of the day, I think that it's almost better to simplify that even more from mm-hmm. a retail lens. So we have a few ideas of, I think, other products that we could go to market with that might be a bit stronger. And hopefully the consumer feels that they can really connect with.
Yeah. So you're about a year or something into building this company, building a food company by no means is an easy task. And you obviously started all of this because of your own health journey. How are you able to balance both of that, running a company, you know, having to focus on growing it, but at the same time, you got to stay healthy along the way as well. You've got to live your brand. So how do you manage to achieve that balance?
It's a good question. I think it's, you know, hard work every day. I don't know if you just get there and there's no finish line, right? Mm-hmm. It's every day. It's, you know, I've built in my own healthy habits, I guess, into my morning routines and my afternoon routines and, you know, the lifestyle that I live and exercise and nutrition. I wouldn't say I'm definitely far from perfect. But I think, you know, that's the important part to know is just that it's an everyday thing that you have to work towards. And entrepreneurial life is mm-hmm. quite insane. And it's a roller coaster, as everyone knows. And so, you know, staying healthy is really important. And often, if I feel overwhelmed, I just go back to the fundamentals, right? Which is, of course, gym, you know, just like mm-hmm. one bite a day. It's sleep, it's water, it's just getting out and moving your body. It doesn't have to be an insane exercise, even if it's just walking. I think when you go back to those fundamentals, then you can really simplify things.
Yeah, because I think everyone's trying to sell a hack, right? These days, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, hack your way into X, Y, or Z. And the bottom line is that, yeah, there are some things that help more than others, and there are some possible shortcuts you can take. But for the most part, it comes down to what kind of habits you can create. And that's something I've learned over the years, too, is just that if you don't do something consistently, no matter what it is, you're not going to, you know, reap the benefits of it. So it kind of connects to your product, your DNA as a company. And I think a big part of what you're building here is that honesty, which is sort of missing from the health and nutrition space, which is you're not trying to be something you're not. It's right now, the current product, at least, I'm sure you'll have more coming out this year, but your current product, at least, is a replacement for your daily multivitamin. And that's a starting point for hopefully more habits. But then you can just, you know, it's a empty canvas to build from there, and you can create whatever you want. So now that you've been doing this also for a while, what still inspires you to keep going with this? Like, what if you had to, I know you touched upon it a little bit, but if you had to summarize what drives you and that drives your employees and your company culture, because I'm sure it's not been easy so far, but it's going to continue to not be easy even if you succeed.
Definitely.
So what drives you? Because if you don't have that drive, you're never going to succeed. So what is that one true north or aspiration that you have for the company and for your customers and for this brand?
Yeah, it's simply making people feel their best. And when I hear that someone feels amazing and they're happy and, you know, they have optimized their potential, like that drives me. And I think that drives our team too. And it's really that simple. And in order to make people feel their best, it's about all of these things. It's about providing, you know, the cleanest nutrition in a way that not only is better for you, but also better for the environment. All these things are a win-win and helps you feel great and helps you feel like you're doing the best that you can to take care of your health and those around you. And I think that is like the if I could just help improve everyone's health and make them happy and their best, like that's great. Mm-hmm. That's what drives me.
Yeah. And so what are you hoping, you know, this is more of a longer term question. I ask everyone who comes on the show, which is, you know, you're part of a new breed of companies that are looking to develop better food products that are better for people. And, you know, that's in some ways the theme of my podcast is how do we nourish ourselves without starving the planet? And what I mean by starving is really we're just depleting the planet of its mm-hmm. resources. Mm-hmm. So it's you can't do one without also not, you have to think about both, right? You can't just something planet that's good for the planet, but it's going to actually harm all of us. And you need that balance, which is not easy to find. And so you're part of this new breed of companies that are working to tackle that problem. And I feel like, you know, food obviously is one of the best ways to address the challenge we're going to face and are facing with climate change. But at the same time, you know, if people aren't feeling good, you're not inclined to care about bigger issues like the rainforests burning or the oceans getting depleted or there being more plastic than fish in the oceans. You're not going to, you'll hear about it and maybe you'll recycle, maybe you'll use less plastic, but you're not going to do lasting change until it actually, we're human beings. I don't mean to say we're inherently selfish, but we are, we do things that are good for us. And then when we are, you know, save yourself first and then you can maybe save the world.
It's true. It's a circular economy. Mm-hmm. It's really true. You can't, you know, unless you feel better, then, you know, you're not going to be able to take care of the planet. And frankly, a lot of the things that make you feel worse are things that aren't good for the planet anyways, mm-hmm. you know?
That's true.
So most of the processed things and mm-hmm. that don't do well for you, all these stresses, they're things that don't do well for the planet either. And so it really is a circular process that mm-hmm. is important. And so at the end of the day, that's what's amazing. You know that if you're taking care of your health in the right ways, guess what? You're actually taking care of the planet's health too. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's
the greatest hack.
That's honestly the greatest hack. I think a lot of people try to really complicate that and it's not that complicated. Mm-hmm. And when you really boil it down to that, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
and I think it's hard too, because a lot of these, you know, there's a lot of alternative vegan things out there and I, you know, applaud our steps in that way, but it doesn't mean all of them are actually the healthiest or doing the healthiest things for you. So I think there's a lot of education that has to be done around that, mm-hmm. particularly with a lot of these like soy-based products that are just really overly processed. That might be better for the planet in terms of, you know, instead of animal protein, but there's still, I think, a lot of improvement that we can do both on those nutritional profiles and, of course, the sustainability. And that's where, you know, algae comes in for us.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I agree that there are steps towards something better, but they're a step and not necessarily an end point. But, you know, really the question, I didn't even get to it, but really the question I was going to ask you was if your company and others like you succeed at what we're trying to do, which is basically re-architect our food system, re-architect people's daily eating habits that promote health, that promote sustainability, and not if, but when we are all successful and when you've achieved your dreams and vision for this company, looking far ahead now, I'm talking about 30 years down the line in the year 2050. And I give that year up because, you know, by most estimates, we're going to be about 10 billion people on the planet then. We're only 7.5 now. Not only, but we are 7.5 billion now. And if we just continue business as usual, basically, we're going to have a really hard time feeding 10 billion people.
Mm-hmm.
Without completely destroying our natural resources. So the question really is when we do succeed, and if we are able to make this transformation in time, what's your best case scenario, like your utopian vision of what the world will look like in 2050?
Oh, we're all eating algae. Yeah, that's the future of food. And totally, you don't even know, you're not even going to know you're eating it. It's going to be hidden in things. I mean, there's thousands of different species of algae, micro and macro, that all have tremendous nutritional profiles that all can be grown in in space, in water, polluted water, salt water, sea, you know, everywhere in little tubes at 1/10 of the space. It can produce the, you know, algae can produce the same amount of food as a staple crop, like a land crop like soy or corn, in 1/10 of the space. And it's 20 times more productive in terms of converting the sun into food or energy that your body can absorb. So there's just, there is actually no other way that we're going to feed 2 billion plus people by 2050 unless we radically change the way that we nourish ourselves. And it's not just going gluten-free or soy.
Or even vegan, for that matter.
Or vegan.
Because you can be terribly
unhealthy.
We
really have to change the fundamentals of our system and the ways that we're getting our nutrition. So there's only one way, and that's the way that I see. So
wow, you know your focus, and you know your true north in that sense, I guess, because we definitely have a long way to go before algae is abundantly consumed, at least in this country.
There's a lot of innovation to be had, that's for sure. And that's what we hope to, you know, invest in eventually as a company, as we grow and build products that people love and that make them feel great. We can hopefully invest more and more into this.
Well, I'm excited to learn more as the company grows and as algae becomes more abundant and you know, we use technology in a smart way to extract the right nutrients from this and turn them into products that everyone wants to consume. And it's a healthy and sustainable way to feed us, to save the planet, of course. So I applaud your efforts, and I find what you're doing really interesting. I think it's unique. It's just coming at a very big problem in a very, very sort of out of the box, sort of unique way of looking at it, and which makes it sometimes, I'm sure, very difficult to convince others. But I'm hoping we have at least convinced a few who are still listening. So
yes, thank you.
You've been listening to Eat for the Planet with Nils Zacharias. If you enjoyed this conversation and would like to show your support, please subscribe to the show and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. To learn more about how Eat for the Planet can help your brand or organization develop the right strategy, implement scalable operations, and grow responsibly, visit eftp.co. That's eftp.co. Let's rise up to the challenge of transforming our food system. Thank you for listening.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.